and welcome to our podcast, Geeks Wired, where we talk about video games, movies, TV, comic books, technology, and TLDR, the Internet of Things. And this week, we have Alex.
Howdy ho.
And Ted.
Hi, Alex, and everybody else.
And Anna.
Why, hello.
Well, because that's what you say when... Seems like a weird question. Why?
Why?
Don't hit me. I'm sorry.
Just start the podcast over.
Exactly.
No, we're doing it live.
Restart.
Joe.
It's a benefit of life. Hello.
I'm just going to keep this going.
It's raw and in your face.
Yep. We don't edit our
stuff. That's right. No scripts. Total improv.
You don't edit your stuff unless I say...
Yep.
Yeah.
To be fair, I think I've only made you edit it once.
Like three times in the same once.
Well, that one. Yeah, that one time, though. I figure if you're going to edit it, I might as well go for broke.
Yeah.
I know. I don't know if I've ever broken your sensor, Bill.
I have broken my sensor.
Yeah.
Anna, however, makes him edit like every week. You should hear the stuff that he edits out.
Are you sure about that, Ted?
Very sure. I think she was a sailor in a past life. Because she's... Never mind.
Okay. And I'm just going to introduce myself. I'm Bill.
That's right, Bill.
Oh, yeah, we have Bill.
A host.
The host. The ultimate host.
And what else? Also, you can follow us on our Instagram page, Geeks Are Wired. Search Geeks Are Wired. You can email us at geeksarewired@gmail.com. And you can call us at 801-896-4335. And apparently Google has issues because it's a Google voice number. So if you get dead air, call back.
Yeah.
Either that or Google is down. And that just, yeah. So it happens. I don't know why. I like ran into it. I was like, oh, well.
I know. I have a Google voice account for my work. And people occasionally complain that it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. I think I called it one time. And I was like, What did I misdial the number? Can I like check to make sure it works?
Is that two people call?
And then I could see this list like people, because it still registers the call happened.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, people called.
Yeah.
No one's just leaving the message. We also have a Facebook page and a Twitter page, and those are getting more active too.
The Insta.
Yep. The Instagram.
Yep.
I'm posting all over the place.
That's right.
Search Geeks Are Wired.
You're blowing up. We're taking over the internet.
Yeah.
Pretty soon we'll make it to the boss.
Mm-hmm. And if you want to watch us, we are going to be at Snake River Comic Con, which is going on at the end of September, September 29th to October 1st.
That's so soon.
I know, it is.
So soon. Hope you guys bought your tickets.
Well, if you haven't.
If you haven't, do you think there's another way they could get them?
They can still buy their tickets. Oh. And there's also the Golden Ticket Awards that are going on, which I reposted that about the event going on.
Oh, yeah. The Willy Wonka tickets.
Mm-hmm. Win free tickets. This Saturday, they're actually giving away a 3-day pass. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So there's all sorts of fun. And if you want to buy your tickets, you can go to snakeriver.comiccon.com.
So here's a thought. I know Willy Wonka was in the UK, and they probably have different laws over there than us. Odd as that may sound. I think we fought a war about that. But, like, every contest you see here like that, like Mr. Wonka held up, no purchase necessary to win. So why couldn't Charlie have just entered that and won?
Because Willy wanted people to spend the money even if they were poor.
In my remake of Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory, there's going to be like a dude wearing a Don't Tread on Me shirt with like toe shoes that like writes in to get his contest entry. And like he just walks around and is just like very upset that they don't have like beef jerky or paleo friendly stuff inside the Chocolate Factory. And he somehow makes it to the end and Willy Wonka just shoots himself.
It could be Laszlo from True Genius. Because he's in the basement of the school and he's just like filling out all these contest entries, and he ends up winning because he's like automatically created 2 billion entries. He actually won 3 out of the 7.
Uh-huh.
And then it's just like, Augustus, nope. I like this remake. I'm down.
All right. Or you just might have to make your own. Don't call it Willy Wonka, and then you don't have to worry about, you know, all those rights that people will want to collect from you.
Some
Billy Bonka's Nougat Factory.
There you go. Or maybe it is a vegan factory.
It's a vegan factory, but they get in there and they're like, the chocolate's made out of like pig blood.
Ah.
You're like, what is this?
And horse hoofs.
We that's figured right. out how to make really good chocolate that's completely artificial.
Yeah. It's natural.
That's how we can say that our chocolate is 100% conflict free.
Exactly.
So, last week, Disney held their big old D23 convention.
Where do they hold that at?
I think this one was in...
Does it move every year?
It's in one of the Disney... I know what they talk about. I don't know where it was. It was either in World or Land.
The D23.
Yeah.
Bill, it's still so weird that... like Marvel and Star Wars, it still never comes across my mind as like a Disney character now.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I don't think it ever will. They're just like the parent company.
Princess Leia just isn't a Disney princess to you?
No. They'll always just be the parent company, so it is weird.
The Sarlacc is a Disney princess, too.
Yeah. Okay, so it's D23 Expo. And I still don't know where it's at. I ended up looking up all the information about it. But they announced a whole bunch of stuff.
Oh, man, they got a severe rodent problem. They need to put some traps down.
So here's the funny thing.
That thing is huge.
So here's the funny thing. Apparently, Mickey Mouse has never actually officially had a ride.
A what?
A ride. About Mickey Mouse.
I know. Why doesn't he have a steamboat? That's what I at least think. That'd be the best ride.
Mickey Mouse. Sounds boring as...
What?
Explicitive. Explicative. What the heck am I trying to say?
It's a Steamboat Willie. You could have people trying to murder you on the boat. Then it'll make it a little more exciting.
But he is getting a ride now.
Hey.
What kind of ride?
It seems it's like apparently based mostly on like the Disney, you know, the cars and driving around. What seemed like. So what I was hearing, I didn't get to hear a lot of details about it. I couldn't really find out about that. But it was replacing the movie one, the movie experience, the great movie experience.
What?
Yeah. Have you ever been on that one?
I don't know.
The great
movie experience sounds like a placeholder title for a ride that's like upcoming.
Exactly.
Okay, so I wrote it when I last went to Disney in Florida. And it's part of their Universal one, which they're apparently going to be renaming. It apparently gets renamed.
Oh, I haven't. I only went to Disneyland.
Oh, yeah. This is Florida. So
okay.
World.
Nope.
So you end up watching about the evolution. You hop on this little thing. You walk into the theater. It's like the old Grand Chinese Theater. It's a replica of Chinese Theater in LA. And you walk in and then you get on this ride and they show about the movies and how they evolved. And you see, you know, the animatronics and a guy singing in the rain and Wizard of Oz. Those kind of, you know, you see these little things. It's kind of cool.
Heavy metal.
Yeah. Super. It's hardcore.
Catches everyone off guard.
No, I mean that movie. Yeah, that movie.
The movie.
The movie is heavy metal.
Oh, maybe not quite that one.
That's right.
It goes to American Psycho, then Eyes Wide Shut.
Well, all the kids are like, so much cleavage.
They do show a lot of, like, even like Psycho, and, you know, so that you kind of see, but it's brought to you by, like, American Movie Classic.
Okay.
So, but it's something that's just kind of...
So is AMC part of Disney? What the heck?
No, that's the other thing, is it's not, but they negotiated some stuff, so that's why. But that ride's been there for, like, ever.
Forever.
Now Mickey's hijacking it?
Exactly, because it is... I wrote that because there was not much of a line.
Yeah.
I wonder why, Bill.
I know.
It was okay. If I wouldn't have written it, I would have been like, oh, I feel okay. Since I wrote it, I was like, it was an interesting experience. It will stay a memory in the back of my head.
Was the ride just like waiting in line because it sounds like it?
There was a point I kind of thought it was because they like walk you into like the theater area and so those like narrow style theaters so you can watch some of the stuff and you're zigzagging back and forth and this I'm like, we're literally going to hit the end of this and they're going to go, congratulations, hope you enjoyed the ride.
I know, that's what I figured. They're like the entertainment about the evolution of movies. You're like, all right, we're finally at the end. They're like, no, that was the ride.
That was it. No, we hopped on, you know, it's a cart system. Which was, I was looking at as really interesting because it's not on a rail, but you can see like these little indents in the ground where the tires drive. And because there's even a point where the carts actually come up to the next to each other. And there is no rail system. Like whether it's self-driving or magnetic or whatever, not sure. I didn't really ask about the technology, but I thought it was really interesting that I could see how the path was going. And
so that does remind me, I don't know if it's in the show notes because I don't bother to look at them anymore.
Ah, I bring them up when we start talking.
Elon Musk recently said that he got governmental permission to build a hyperloop between New York and DC, I think.
He said he got verbal confirmation that he could do it, which basically means he called up the Department of Transportation. Yeah. It's like, hey, would that be cool? And they're like, yeah, sure.
So, I don't know. That's interesting. I haven't looked into the Hyperloop too much. It seemed like a pipe dream when I kind of just glanced at it. But, yeah, it may be happening. I personally would like to see more rail transportation between cities. And
I know. We need that in this country.
Technically, it's not rails, I don't think, but whatever. I try not to be too pedantic.
It's going to be like
that's Mike's job.
yeah. It's going to be like Futurama. Exactly.
Yeah. It is dumb that we don't have things like that here, though.
Just give it time. Maybe we should invite Mr. Musk to Pocatello, Idaho.
Oh, we should. for Comic-Con.
There we go. Blast across the western half of the country.
Oh, it is Comic-Con, isn't it?
It is Comic-Con. It's Snake River Comic-Con. What's the other fun stuff that with Disney? They are building some new hotels, and one of them is a Star Wars experience hotel. You have a theme, you rent there, you have to stay there for 2 nights. That's the only, you know, there's the price hasn't been released officially yet. There's rumors. But you get to dress up, they'll theme it, so it's kind of like Westworld, but robots aren't shooting at you.
And every little girl is going to look like Rey.
Yeah.
Like our normal Comic-Cons.
Yeah, stuff like that. Well, except for, you could, maybe they have a different story for.
And then, yeah. And every middle-aged man without a child will look like Qui-Gon Jinn after he took a dump in his his robe. He's just walking around.
Or Old Man Kenobi.
Yeah. And then it'll be a bunch of stormtroopers, and that's all your cosplay.
Actually, maybe Old Man Solos. A bunch of Old Man Solos.
Yeah.
Out of shape Old Man Solos.
I'm going to a con, I just found out, in Vegas later this year. It's a professional convention, but I plan on cosplaying. I'm gonna dress up as a businessman.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I don't even do that for work. It's gonna be fun. Like they won't be able to tell that I'm not the real thing. It's gonna be great.
Are you gonna obnoxiously storm the lobby with your headset, being like, "You tell them if that deal isn't closed by the time I land, that they're all out of jobs."
Oh, that's right. I need to get a Bluetooth earpiece.
Exactly.
Yeah, buddy.
Because I always see that guy at every airport. He's like, "Well, tell them the stocks are fine." They're just screaming into their headset on their laptop, sipping their latte, waiting for their plane.
I like to sit next to those people and get on my phone and answer them.
Yeah.
So that was interesting. That's all the interesting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This week I've been pretty busy. So
that's still pretty cool.
Yeah, okay. It's pretty neat.
All right, I'm working on getting my costume together. But the Star Wars hotel I thought was really interesting.
Yeah, that would be fun.
You know, even being busy though, Bill, I still managed to watch Baby Driver and Spider-Man. And you know where I saw that at?
Where did you see that at?
I saw that at AMC...
Pine Ridge 11?
Pine Ridge 11, that's right. That's exactly right. That's where I saw it. And I got popcorn and soda because I have... And I paid, like, next to nothing for it.
Yeah.
Because I have the Stubbs program. And it was a great investment.
The premium Stubbs program.
Yes. And this is this is not a cleverly placed marketing ploy. This is coming right off the cuff. I just was thinking about it and thought I'd say it. But did you know? Oh, my gosh. Refill on a large popcorn. Member pricing on Tuesdays. That's up to $2 off tickets if you get the free Stubbs Insider. If you get the premiere, it's up to $5 off tickets. $5 rewards every time you read 5,000 points. 20 points per $1 spent, so that doesn't take long.
Well, that's if you're on the free one. If you're on the premiere, it's 100 points per dollar.
100 points per $1 spent.
That is a point per penny.
Yeah, that's pretty good. And waived online ticketing fees for 4 tickets or more for the free, or every time for the premiere.
And that's with Fandango. Yeah. But actually, that's with any... As I've been noticing a few of the others, too. If you want to not purchase them through AMC, or Fandango's not offering a really cool deal, there's others, and they also waive the fee. You just have to link your AMC account up to the... Yeah. Your account.
And Manny, guys, cool. Since this isn't a plug and such a natural conversation, I am intrigued. Where would I go to sign up for this fantastic card?
Well, you could get it right there in the theater. And maybe you could go to amcstubbs.com to complete your profile and get all the right perks at all the right times. Yep. Or, I don't know, it says you can text Stubbs to 272727. And they'll send exclusive concession and movie offers, events, and reward notifications instantly.
So that's if you don't want to install the app.
You can download the app.
Yep.
I know. It's an amazing place.
It's yeah.
Definitely been our sponsor for many, many years, but this is just off the cuff.
Oh, don't forget the birthday popcorn and large drink.
Birthday popcorn. Free popcorn if you get the Insider, which why wouldn't you pay $15? So you can get free large popcorn and soda.
Which you'll get refilled for free.
Yes, and that is a birthday gift. So think about it. $15, free large popcorn and soda, like that's just paid for itself.
I think I might have to sign up for it. Or maybe I already did. Oh,
I actually enjoyed it. Like the moment they're like, this is what the new program is. I'm like, I'm in.
Yeah.
Like I was just like, look, do we need to tell you? I'm like, nope, I've been reading this thing. I am in.
No, it is true. It has already paid for itself, so.
Mm-hmm. Anna's kind of sleepy, but she actually signed up for it, and I just coast off of her coattails.
Yeah.
It's been nice, though. Like, we've gotten quite a bit out of it.
Mm-hmm. She never wants to spend her 5,000 points, so we've got, what, like $30 saved up so far.
You're just going to save it up for this awesome.
I know, I used $5 the other day.
One day it's just going to be free.
Mm.
I think the thing is once you, like, activate it, it just starts taking every, like, all of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't take it. The way he described it to me was, like, so if I only had, like, a $6 purchase and I used it, but I had $10 on there, it would, like, take the $6 and then $4 would go towards my next purchase, regardless of what I wanted it to or not.
Wow.
At least that's the way he described it. I can't guarantee the validity. I may have misunderstood.
I am not
an official spokesmodel.
Well, we'll find that out and we'll let you know.
Yeah.
But what
you pretty fancy. Oh,
though there is more slightly with the D23 and movie-ish.
Oh, sorry. Mm-hmm.
No, you're fine. The Guardians is going to Epcot. There's going to be a Guardians ride at Epcot.
You know, I try to get a good segue.
That was a good segue. Now we're segueing back into a movie.
We're just going back.
To the movie.
So here's the interesting thing about it. One, it's going to Epcot instead of Hollywood Studios, you know, and it's going to Disney instead of Hollywood Studios, because Hollywood Studios has the Hulk ride and Marvel Land and all that. But apparently, Guardians is a loophole that because it wasn't popular, Hollywood Studios didn't sign up to take that under their "we can only build the ride for it" umbrella, and Disney's building the ride for it.
Okay.
That's exciting. Mm-hmm. If I cared about... Okay.
You don't care about the Disney stuff?
Yeah.
No. I like Disney and all that, and I really like the movies they come out with and everything, but theme parks just irritate me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, even if we go to Lagoon here up close over near Salt Lake, like... You wait for, like, how long?
It depends on the ride. Because there's the other thing, though. When you sign up for, like, you get your day pass to Disney, they give you 3 free fast passes. All yeah. you have to do is set up your account and your My Disney account, and then I want this one, this one, this one at these particular times.
So everybody has a fast pass means nobody has a fast pass.
No, true. It actually worked out really well. I wanted to go at it because they only have X amount of people that can sign up for fast pass during the hour. So you go, during this hour, I want to show up to get it. And it worked out really well because it was on a weekend when we went. And
that is why I worry about going to the bigger theme parks, because the lines are obnoxious at Lagoon. So they're probably atrocious. Mm-hmm. In yeah. those
you go there
ones.
For you have to go yeah. there for like, oh, 2 weeks just to ride each ride once. Right. And that's not repeating any of the rides either. That's just each ride once.
It is true. I don't like to wait in line for a movie for like 2 hours, let alone a 5-minute experience, if that.
There was
average
a
wait time
were...
3 to 4 hours.
Plus, you need to take out a small loan just to have dinner at the park.
Yeah, that's true.
It depends on which places you eat at.
Or if it's like 110 degrees out, you want a refreshing soda? That'll be $70.
Well, no, that's the nice thing about Universal, is they have like, it's like $12 or $15. And you get a mug.
$15 soda.
Okay. No. Yeah, you let me finish.
Yeah.
It's a refillable all day long. And they have those, like, self-coated.
Then you have to drag around the stupid cup. Where are you going to put that when you ride your roller coasters?
There's places.
Between your legs. You just put it between your legs. Just hold on to it.
I mean, it's a small, it's not a small cup. But it's an okay, like, mug.
I don't want to carry around a cup. I'd rather buy.
It is not that inconvenient, I promise.
You know who else made someone carry around a cup?
What?
The Nazis.
Yeah.
Their concentration camps.
I enjoyed my cup. It got me plenty of free soda pop.
I love how even the fast food places conveniently forgot what a dollar menu is in an amusement park. That's the first thing to go, obviously.
Well, that's probably, yeah. It probably has something to do with their paying billions of dollars
yeah,
each
true.
Month. They probably have the same profit margin as, like, the outside version, so they're still making like $1,000 a month off of it, but it just happens to be inside Disney.
Mm-hmm.
So, Alex.
Yes?
You put something in the show notes that I'm not sure exactly what your wording was.
It's a female.
Doctor Who is a bird, mate.
Yeah.
That's more Australian than it was.
It's a female.
Bird means girl.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to go check out some birds.
In overseas talk.
Yeah. In the England. Cheerio England.
Like aluminium.
See, I've only been to the East Coast.
Bird.
No. And my phone talks to me in a British accent.
But that's what you say. You say, oi, you're quite a fit bird, aren't you?
I think the only non-American English accent we've ever heard is apparently Crocodile Dundee. Like Paul Hogan is like our teacher on a foreign accent.
I know exactly. They go, "That's not a bird. This is a bird."
You know, we might get callers now.
Yeah. And the sad thing, too, in my head, I was like, say British, and it came out Crocodile Dundee.
I know, like, I was thinking, like, checkered cab seat and tiny car, and it still came out sounding like Sleeveless Bass.
So if you're Australian and Joe's horrible accent offended you, give us a call and let us know at 801-896-4335.
All right. So, yes. Doctor Who's a female. Just like with all new doctors. Like even the last one. Every doctor. There's a point. Everyone's like, I hate this one.
They haven't all been female.
No. They've all been hated initially.
Yes. Did you post that?
Yes.
You are here. That was a good meme.
Yeah.
You should check out his Instagram. The Geeks Are Wired Instagram.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome. It's very descriptive.
Everyone is, you know, like, oh, the new doctor. I'm sad. I hate him. He's old. He's young. He's not... Well, I guess there's Eccleston. Everyone was happy to lose him, which I feel bad for the guy.
I think that's kind of like the Windows life cycle, too. A new version of Windows came out. Everybody hates it.
Yeah.
And then, and then they're like, man, when the new one comes out, they're like, man, just give me XP back. Just
no.
I'd rather have... Oh, come on. Can't we just go back to Windows 10?
Yeah. Do any of us actually watch Doctor Who? Like, it's news and people are reacting to it, but...
I try.
I don't really watch Doctor Who.
I actually like the old Doctor Who way better than the new Doctor Who. I've tried to watch the new Doctor Who. I don't like it as much, but the old stuff, it's super campy. I mean, it's all really campy.
It's
but,
a kids'
yeah.
TV show.
But it's like
expect?
Super
or
campy.
It was.
And I used to watch it back in the day, not when it originally aired, but... but
man,
like,
you old.
I know. Back when I was a kid, it was on USA. It was bowling night. My mom would go bowling and my brothers would go to the babysitter, but I was old enough to stay home alone.
Was it on USA? I thought it was on PBS.
It might have been, but I watched it on USA.
Oh.
I watched that, and then after that was Up All Night. USA's Up All Night. sometimes it was Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, and sometimes it was the...
Gilbert Godfrey.
Gilbert Godfrey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or, no, that was...
Elvira did it a lot.
Huh. I remember Gilbert Godfrey.
Yeah. And now I realize that was just softcore porn with the porn yeah. edited out.
That's right.
I loved them, though. They were so stupid. They were the greatest yeah. things.
Like watching Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Bill,
Speaking of dumb camp, have you guys watched Glow on Netflix?
I've watched a little bit of it. I
actually dig it. It's totally cool.
Yeah, I need to watch that.
I've gotten like 4 episodes in or so, something like that. Like, they haven't actually put on a... thing yet. I don't know if they do by the end of the season, but they I haven't gotten to the point where they've actually performed in front of anybody. They're still practicing, but yeah, it's been pretty good.
They get crap out of each other. There's a lot of wrestling.
So Alex, to answer your question, I watched Doctor Who.
Did you watch? When's the female come out?
Christmas. They always change at Christmas.
Oh, I want to watch it just so I can, because I already have the status in my head that says. It's good to know a female can inspire the same level of indifference in this show as all the male counterparts.
Hey, so are you plan your Facebook updates months in advance?
With this one, because Doctor Who, I've never tried harder to get into a show, and I try all the doctors, so I want the female to be like, yeah, you still can't change my mind. Good job, female power. So, I won't be watching you either.
But what if it does change your mind?
So the...
Promise of Doctor Who. Every time it's like, yeah. What if this new one changes your mind?
Doctor.
It never does, ever.
No, I don't want her to hurt it. I just want to watch and be like, yep.
They have gained and lost viewers every Doctor because people like the personality of certain Doctors over others.
So I will say, when I was trying to get into it, I watched a whole bunch with the guy who played on Harry Potter.
David Tennant?
Yeah, and like so seeing
well,
him in Harry Potter,
a few of them now, but...
and then like it was really really bizarre to see him like
he had a box
way.
That
yeah,
was bigger on the inside in Harry Potter,
that's
and
true.
He has a machine
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or a box that's bigger on the inside that he goes.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's true. I want you to know that my box is bigger on the inside too, Bill.
Oh, good.
Anytime
to know.
You want to take a ride.
Hey.
I wish our regular Doctor Who correspondent was on. Courtney could probably have a perspective in this, but yeah, I really don't care because it's Doctor Who. If it's anything else, I probably would be interested.
So she has hated the current director,
that's guiding it.
Yes, though. So she, when Tennant came around, she was kind of okay, but she was definitely losing interest. So, she kind of left it.
Yeah,
and
good
she
for
might
her.
Still watch it, but I don't know. I'm going back and I'm watching the old ones and going through them because they're starting to be put online and I don't have to clandestine or try to find them for like $50 an episode.
Mm-hmm.
And they were really weird back then because they were like, you know, half-hour episodes, but it was 4 episodes per story plot part. So like now you can almost like start and stop like right at the, you know, there might be a couple of them might continue in a couple episodes, but for the most part, like we're going to this planet at the beginning of this episode, we're going to deal with it by the end, or it may cover a few more, you know, or there might be a small overarching theme for the season. But those, they were like, no, there are four episodes. This is the story that we're stuck on. We are not leaving this place.
I have no opinion.
I know.
Like the Aztec one.
Bill, it's still the greatest.
Yeah. The old one.
Yes. Yeah. It's like the second story line.
Well, when I was watching on Netflix, that was the first. That's where it started.
Well, that's where it started, but when it starts, that's actually picking up the people from there. Because
his
daughter is going to school to one of the people that go on rides with him. I think it's her teacher. Mm. Yeah, it's been a while. Yeah.
It is. It's the greatest source of melancholy for me, though, because that's always going to be the great big hole of darkness in the geekdom. Because I either like really like or can appreciate most things, because I like to make fun of Star Wars, but I still like Star Wars.
Yeah.
But Doctor Who, I'm just like, I can't do it.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's so popular in the big part of the geek culture, so it does kind of break my heart, but no.
Nope.
Doctor Who, never.
Yeah,
but I've tried.
I think it's just a little too over the top for me. It's just a little too ridiculous. I don't know. I have a hard time getting into it.
Yeah.
It happens, and it's not for everybody. I'll admit, I tried a couple times. I got into it, and I stuck around. But there's plenty of...
Yeah.
Everything's not for everybody. That's the great thing about so many choices.
Mm-hmm.
Anne is a huge Doctor Who fan. She watches. She never misses an episode.
She's a Whovian.
I am not a Whovian.
Ah. Yes, I'm it. Fine.
Or what we like to say, loser.
I know. I tried, Bill. I tried.
If I just offended you by calling Whovians losers,
yeah.
Feel free to give us a call at 1-801-896-4335.
Or geek.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why nobody calls, because you confuse them by saying geek.
Geek. Like
801-896-geek.
Geek.
Geek. Geeks are wired.
Geek.
SnakeRiverComicCon.com.
Yeah.
You're missing that from all your previous.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay, how about in sad news? George Romero.
Yeah.
Passed away.
I know.
I already heard it, but I heard this news while watching the new Game of Thrones, and the person who said it said that George R.R. Martin died.
I know. And they're like, what? I know.
And everybody looks at him like, no, he didn't.
Yeah.
A little bit of confusion, but like...
We would have known.
I know.
Definitely would have been more build up to this episode.
Exactly. No.
You know, that's how he's going to die. Like, it's going to be some ridiculous thing that no one's going to believe. I was like, oh, I feel bad now.
George Romero. It's, I don't know.
The father of the modern zombie. Well, pretty much zombie.
Like the grandfather now. I'm so conflicted.
The king of zombies.
He just didn't die at the top of his game. That's what's sad.
That's not sad. You can enjoy it and then move on with your life.
Yeah.
I don't see a problem with that.
I don't know.
It's pretty cool he got to be the guy that made Night of the Living Dead. I mean, that's a movie people are going to be watching for, like, probably 50 years from now. Oh, like, it still holds up. It's so good.
Mm-hmm. No, he's amazing. I just mean, because I love my director so much, too. And it does matter if you, like, have your high ground and then you spend, like, the following decades just making garbage. Then it does, like, bring down your level of quality horror maker to the guy who made a few good movies. It's a Shyamalan effect. If he was the guy that made The Sixth Sense and then just dropped dead, you'd be like, man, that guy had so much potential. And now if he died, you're like, eh.
See, and I'm okay with the, I'll watch, you know, Unbreakable and those.
Lady in the Water.
And I won't watch the others.
Lady in the Water.
What about Lady in the Water?
It's a good movie.
It's a good one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wasn't that George Romero movie where it's like a first-person found footage one? It was like a Diary of the Dead?
Yes.
Yeah, man, that was not good. I know. Like, I really wanted to like it, but wow.
No, his zombie movies ended up being the ones next to, like, the crappy ones they'd sell at Walmart. That's just like, the day the zombie ate my sister. And then you look at it and you're like, man, this looks like it sucks. You're like, oh, it is directed by Romero.
Yeah, he's got the the classics and the
I know, because the classics are good. I have the old ones.
Yeah.
It's just kind of sad. He should have either retired, but yeah.
So what do you think? Dawn of the Dead, yay or nay? I really like it.
I really like Dawn of the Dead.
Is that the one in the mall?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if I've seen the remake or the original, but I liked it.
No,
were
that
the zombies fast or slow?
They were slow. They were slow in all of his movies that I watched.
Well, I mean, the remake is where they're fast, and the original ones where they're slow.
Yeah, the remake's a fast one.
I don't know. It's been a little while.
These ones, they have like the blue, like chalk on their face. That's what was so good, because he had the effects of someone who's a hack, but managed to make his best movies back when the special effects weren't there. And then when the special effects are there, he turned into a hack. So
I think it was
tragic.
The new one I saw. I think it was the remake.
Yeah, they were the runny ones. They had the buses where they were like throwing propane tanks and blowing it up, and they had the armored buses.
They actually had some decent actors.
No, I like the remake too.
I enjoyed the remake. It was good. I haven't watched the old one though.
I think I did, but it was so long ago that I just couldn't.
Didn't he direct? He directed the new one, right?
No, that was
Zack
DC dude. Yeah, Zack Snyder.
Zack Snyder. Yeah.
That's another guy that made like a couple good movies, then they start sucking afterwards.
Looking at George Romero's picture, though, I think I know what killed him. I think his head fell off.
Time?
No. I think those glasses got too heavy and it just snapped his head right off. Yeah.
He had great peripheral vision.
I bet so. He could see his feet really well.
Yeah, no, he lost his vision.
You have to really. George Romero reminded me of something. You have to really dig for it to find it, but there's a podcast called Stuff You Should Know. And they're a pretty popular podcast, but they did one episode on Night of the Living Dead, and it's actually really good. Like they researched like the casting and stuff, because like it was really known for like being this a strong commentary on race relations in the 1960s, and the casting they did for it was just kind of incidental. George Romero was like, oh yeah, this guy's definitely gonna be the lead. He's like the best actor out of this group, and like casted a black dude as the lead, which would A, just like basically never happened in movies at the time, and B, it was also a very early super scary horror movie. So like when it's released in 1960, it was so powerful, it just blew everybody away. And also is just like a good movie. Like even since then, we've seen like scarier movies, but the pacing of it is just so eerie. I think that's what George Romero kind of lost later on. He just couldn't keep the pacing. None of the movies were a slow burn. They all felt really fast, and I feel like maybe studio pressure or something just like made him like drop the really slow burn that made his movies so creepy. Because like Diary of the Dead was just like zombie, just jumping out at you like every 5 minutes, and like there's like shaky cam too. That like they took like the Cloverfield shaky cam, but then they like never added any stable bits unless someone was talking into the camera. It got really annoying.
I know, it's kind of frustrating. It's like John Carpenter too. He needs to stop making movies because he made one that's terrible, but he hasn't made as many as George Romero because he made The Ward and it's awful.
Is that about Mormons?
Yeah, it is. They had all this, but
I don't think Vampires was that great.
No, John Carpenter was always like the campy guy. Like he started to lose it. But even like if you watch Ghost of Mars, that movie's really terrible, but I still don't think it really wasn't, because it's kind of in his, because he's the Big Trouble in Little China guy. So he's always making ridiculous over the top movies with a handful of legit good horror movies. And that's his legacy.
Okay.
But he also needs to stop.
I watched Mouth of Madness for the first time like 2 weeks ago. I'd never seen it before.
I love that movie.
Is that the Stephen King one? Or?
Yeah. That's it's like Stephen King Cthulhu.
It's H.P.
weird.
Lovecraft. It's the best H.P. Lovecraft adaptation that's not H.P. Lovecraft.
It's the one where like, if enough people believe an idea, that idea becomes real. Is that the basic plot?
Not really. Like there's a prolific writer who's basically Stephen King, but like the subject matter's like Lovecraft type stuff, like cosmic horror type things, and set like a kind of a noir universe. And Sam Neill is like an insurance investigator, but he's very clearly like kind of a noir detective. And it, like he's sent to investigate like this little investigate where the Stephen King dude went, because he just like up and disappeared, and his publisher is like looking for him, and he tracks him to this little town that doesn't exist on any maps but exists in the book universe. And there's a like there's real elements from the book that exist in the real world, but because the people do read the book, like it's allowed like more stuff from the author's universe like crossover into reality. So it's like a little bit of both, that there's like the more people believe it, the more stuff becomes real, and like also like there's something real there to begin with.
Huh. I think this is one of the first things that moved me towards atheism, actually. If I were completely honest, like watching it, like, because what I got from it was that like God exists because a lot of people believe in God, but now a lot of people read my books and they're starting to believe it's real, and so it's starting to actually happen. Or whatever. To be fair, in 1994 I was doing a lot of drugs.
Alright.
Yeah.
That could be interesting.
See, I had a good segue to talk about Spider-Man and everything else, but
I know.
Oh well. I talked about other movies. Fine, we'll talk about Spider-Man.
No,
that's
we don't
a good
have
segue.
Look, no, you just segued.
I don't have a segue.
I know.
We're sticking with it.
I know.
We're gonna start.
Don't let him G-dub face planet. Let him talk about Spider-Man. That's a good. All right, segue.
Spider-Man. We're gonna spoil Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
Yeah. We are gonna spoil movies from this point on.
Okay.
So if you haven't watched Spider-Man or Baby Driver, or wait, are we far enough away from Planet of the Apes? No, we haven't. We can't spoil Planet of the Apes yet.
No, you don't want to.
No, we're gonna talk about Planet of the Apes now, and then we're not spoiling it for another week, and then we're gonna spoil movies. So Planet of the Apes. Who's all seen it? Just you, isn't
it? Is it just me? Well, I already reviewed it, so we don't need to review that again.
Well, that's last week. Then we'll spoil it next week.
Yeah.
And now we're into spoiler. So
spoilers.
Spoiler alert. Rest of the episode. Have fun if you're leaving. Have a great week.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas.
So Spider-Man.
So Spider-Man. Well, Anna and I just watched it on Thursday. I guess it was a week ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a week ago.
Yeah. And I thought it was too long. I thought it was too long. In the middle of the movie, I'm sitting here thinking, God, how long have I been here? And then, I was starting to think, man, I'm just going to rip into this movie on the podcast, because I was expecting so many good things from this guy, because I love the character. The actor is a great Spider-Man, just an amazing Spider-Man, and I thought he was doing a really good job. And then the middle, it just drug. And then, in the last, 20 minutes, totally redeemed itself. But, yeah.
Ted, I'm glad, because you had your puller, because I hated Guardians 2, and this was, the redeeming one, because I thought Guardians 2 was the hours of boredom. And then I was like, finally, MCU, you redeemed yourself a little bit. But that's why I think it is. It's the humor of it, because I think, they made Spider-Man Homecoming a John Hughes movie, where it's the teen, drama. And that's most of the middle of the movie is just like, oh, I'm an 80s high school guy now. Mm-hmm.
So you're saying it's Pretty in Pink or something?
Yeah.
Did you think it was Pretty in Pink?
Not exactly Pretty in Pink, but I think they did really well with casting, though. Especially because this actor, he's a lot closer to the age of what Spider-Man should be.
Mm-hmm. Well, a high school Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Because Spider-Man gets old.
I know Spider-Man gets old, but Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield, I think that they're just
kind of...
We're
playing high school version of...
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were already too old for the age group that they were portraying.
Yeah, this kid definitely has a lot of youth in him.
Well, that's why...
It's definitely good.
The original ones, they kind of moved him out of high school quickly.
Yeah.
It was we're in high school. Great. You're out. Now go to college. You're working for the newspaper and J. Jonah Jameson hates you.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought they did a good job with his friend, his sidekick, the man at the computers. I really liked that kid there.
Yeah, he was fun.
Ned, was it? Yeah, Ned.
Yeah.
So here's the funny
Jacob
thing.
Jacob Batalon.
They dropped 7 Lego Death Stars. That is not a tiny Lego set by any means.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I mean, they talked about it in the movie, how many it was. Yeah, that's a lot of hours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
isn't it like 3,000 or 4,000 pieces or something?
I think it's like 50,000.
No, it wouldn't be that big.
It's one of their biggest ones.
But yeah, like I really liked the casting all around, and I liked how they had Iron Man in it, but they kept him really subdued.
Yeah, I like that
kept
too.
Kept him out of it, like it was a little bit. It was more than a cameo, but it wasn't to the point that he was like taking over.
Okay, it's 4,000. So. It's still ridiculous.
I only know that because I build my Lego Batman stuff.
He has an idea of how big they are based on piece size. Yeah.
Yeah. Can you imagine dropping that?
I know.
Be like, we're done with this. Not even gonna put back together.
I know that would take you multiple days.
Oh, I've heard about they had this version of this something on Big Bang, and I think they end up getting five interns, 12 hours to put it together.
I believe I built my Arkham Asylum that was 1,000-something pieces, and it took me pretty much a Saturday. That was my Saturday.
Hmm.
Sounds like a good Saturday.
Yeah.
So could you imagine? They paid a bunch of interns to put together a bunch of these
to drop.
And it's a $500 Lego set.
Yeah.
So obviously the Spider-Man, brought the popularity, because it is one of the more impressive ones if you see them together.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, that's, yes. So that's when we dropped it. I was even like,
I know.
Oh my goodness, you guys. Yeah, they did that shoot a couple times.
So did you think it was too long, Anna?
No, I thought it was appropriate for the setup of what they were doing in the show, I think. I enjoyed it. I thought it moved pretty well and the jokes were pretty good.
I give it, I mean, I like that. So I say it's probably like a B, like a solid B. Yeah, the middle just kind of didn't keep me along for the ride, but I really liked the action of it, and yeah, it was really funny.
Were you mad at the end? Or no, you said you took off before the end.
I didn't wait to the very, very end credit.
Did you?
Yeah, I saw it.
Were you disappointed?
No, I thought it was funny because I liked the Captain America PSAs, and I usually sit till the end of credits in movies anyways, even if they don't have a secret scene, so it didn't really test my patience.
I kind of knew it was coming up, and I enjoyed it.
That's like my time to BS about the movie I just watched with people that I watch it with, true. So it didn't offend me.
Also a good time to take the selfies. We just watched!
Mm-hmm.
We don't really do those. We should probably do those.
Yeah, I enjoyed, I thought the villain was pretty good, too. I liked the Vulture, was it?
Yeah.
So, there is talk that he is the best Marvel villain.
In the MCU, I'd agree with that.
I don't know if I can totally agree with that.
What's an MCU?
All the cinematic universe. Iron Man and stuff. Because remember, the common complaint is just all their villains are like, I'm an evil version of you, and I have stupid motivations and no development.
No, he had really good motivations.
Yeah.
You could feel like you understood why he was doing it, and you were pissed when at the beginning when they're like, sorry, you know how you just bought all those trucks for this job? Well, F you, buddy.
Yeah.
And so you understand how he got from there to the weapons trade, right?
Yeah.
And why his name came around.
Yeah, because he's a scavenger guy. And I like that he wasn't trying to dominate the world. He's just trying to run his business. He's like, get out of here,
just
Peter.
Just trying to survive.
Yeah.
For his family. Yeah. I don't know. I really probably the highlight of the movie was when Ned picks up the little web shooter thing.
Oh, yeah.
And, pulls it and he's like, saves him. And he's like, oh, what did I do? Why did I do that? Like it just all the fear came right out of his face. And I really felt that was pretty awesome. I thought that was great.
Yeah. So. And they used most of his powers. And that's the other thing, because people are, is his powers just his suit? No, he actually is, like we talked about last week. He is Hulk strong. He has spider sense.
Spider sense didn't seem like.
Yeah, they didn't really bring it up.
The spider sense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he dodged things but you expect that in a lot of movies.
Superhero
movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and he was blindsided at least once.
Yeah, I know. I think it's him evolving, but, or maybe he was relying on the suit too much.
Yeah, the two. That is a fair complaint, because somebody else complained about it, saying too that this Spider-Man is like Iron Man, where if you wear the suit, like you could take a normal guy and put him in that suit on like full without the training wheels. You could basically do everything that Spider-Man can do, especially with going with the web shooters being artificial. That's what I liked about the Raimi Spider-Man, is that I thought it added something that he produces it himself.
Okay, but that doesn't follow in the comics, because that's the nice thing about having something he has to replace, is it created, because he is an OP character, actually, and that's the nice thing, is he will run out of it, like, at the most inconvenient time.
And I did like where he took off the training wheels mode, and then like he didn't know how to use the stuff, and he's like, he like goes to shoot it, and it's like, brrr. It's like, oh, yeah. What was that? That's not what I wanted. You choose one, and then it's like, and it's like, yeah, it was pretty great. Like,
I loved
it. He made a lot of tactical errors that like a kid would make that like almost ended him, but turned out well.
And you know he's like, come on, kill mode. He's like, no, quit, no kill mode. No. What is with you and killing? What's the other one? But though that's why Iron Man was able to defeat Captain America, was Captain America was actually trained. He has abilities. He knows how to fight.
Mm-hmm.
And he is better. He is actually better than Iron Man. Why did Iron Man end up like having a chance in that fight? He told the suit to just do it. He's like, okay, he has a pattern. He's the final boss.
Yeah,
take
just
care of
beat
him for
him.
Me.
So one of the things that kind of irritated me is, like, I can see why the eyes moved in the suit, like in Tony Stark's suit, but then when he was wearing his own suit, had those crappy eyes and those eyes moving around too, and that, I don't know why, but that really irritated me.
And I think it was more of the copy of the comics and the cartoons, even like Deadpool's
eyes. Because
his eyes
always moved and stuff.
And Deadpool's eyes should never really move.
No,
his
it's
moves.
True. Yeah. But the thing is they kind of went out of their way to make like Spider-Man's eyes move, and you could hear them moving, like you could hear them zooming in and out. And then they did the same thing for a suit. I feel like a suit should have just been like a net mesh or something like that. Or if they stayed white, that's great, but it still should have been like a mesh of some sort.
Or just the goggles. That's the other thing.
Yeah,
is
or just the goggles. But
I've
but they shouldn't have resized.
I've seen some of the stuff where like he wears goggles that restrict his vision, so his spider sense is actually, you know, becomes stronger, and when he doesn't see as well, his spider sense actually is better than being able to see. He won't rely on looking.
I found that like when you like restrict one sense, it just makes my feet hurt. Like I covered my eyes
usually
for a
knees,
whole hour.
Knees.
Well, I covered my eyes for a whole hour and I stubbed my toe so many times. It was terrible.
I also loved that Aunt May figured out, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
I'm not enough into the comics for a Spider-Man comic short, but the fact that Aunt May was like, what the? Right at the end when he has the suit on.
That was funny. I enjoyed how like the suit like went on and off, like with the Tony Stark suit that he was given. Cause like it was completely like he was drowning in it at first, and then like you press the button and then it just kind of shrank up on him.
Yeah. They did have the cool Easter egg, cause clearly he's going to wear that new suit in the Infinity Wars. Like the one that he teased him at the end where he said, look, I have an even better suit, and this will be one to present yourself
that
in.
That is the Iron Man suit, but there's also, it kind of looks a lot like the Miles Morales Spider-Man suit.
What is that one?
Miles Morales is Black Spider-Man. Let's just go with that.
Oh.
I was going to put that. It's another, because there is more people, there is more spider family. So Miles Morales is, when Peter, I forget if he lost his powers or there was just something going on, there was a new Spider-Man that came up, and it wasn't just the Gwen Stacy alternate universe Spider-Girl or Spider-Gwen.
Oh, yeah.
But it was, you know, somebody else that picked up for him. So there is more Spider-Man than Peter Parker. There is Gwen Stacy. There is Miles Morales.
No, that's not possible.
I don't think they're going to go
for that
in this universe.
I know that you're wrong, because the spider died. He said so in the movie. The spider's dead.
Said, can I get bit by the spider? Yeah. He's like, no, it died.
But there's more than...
The spider is dead, Bill. Drop it.
No. Yeah.
They better not bring in any multiple Spider-Mans.
So there was a rumor that...
Sony, Mike, because Sony's idiots. Disney will say no.
Peter Parker bit a spider and it became Man-Spider.
Exactly.
So there is rumors, and I can't find how official they are, but supposedly they are retro writing in that the kid that Iron Man saved in Iron Man 2. Remember the kids like aiming up at the robots taking over, mm-hmm. and the thing comes down to like kill him, and Iron Man jumps in and shoots the robot. Remember that scene?
Yeah,
that was Peter.
And they don't need to do that.
I know they don't need to do it, but that's and I don't know how official it is. There's also another one that apparently Miles Morales is supposedly retro writing him in. I'm like, well,
just let him wear the big fancy suit. That's what he's going to do.
Yeah.
Like, Infinity Wars comes out next year. They're not going to have time for that crap.
What's the other stuff going on? Also, they're already building in who's going to be in Infinity Wars. So they're not going to introduce Adam until Guardians 3.
Oh, is that the guy that only, like, the most hardcore nerds knew what they were talking yes. about? The secret scene where you're like, oh my gosh. Like, what? What is that?
Because that would mean I thought he had the spirit gem, the one that's not revealed yet,
mm-hmm.
and apparently he doesn't because he's a big character in the Infinity Wars in the comics, but they're so obviously they're not going to provide the spirit gem through him or the soul gem, whatever. But yeah,
it is good compliments to them though. It shows how long they've been making this. That was the first ever where I was like, I don't know what this is.
Oh,
except before then it was like, oh, the end of Iron Man 1, they're like, there's a hammer.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're like, Jesus, we found a guy frozen. Yeah. And then this one, they're just like, Adam. Okay.
Yeah. Mid-credit scene, he's like, take that shield, stuff it underneath. I need to make this arc reactor. But that's just stuck it there.
Adam. Oh, like from Buffy.
I don't know, the Adam.
Big super demon robot.
What is... Yeah, well, I don't want to go on that tangent. Like, I don't care who Adam is. I'll Wikipedia it.
So
just enjoy the journey.
Yeah.
Marvel will explain.
I know, exactly.
Disney will explain it all. See, we're still on Disney.
Sit back and enjoy it. Was Baby Driver a Disney movie?
No, we're going to go off of Disney now.
I guess we're not going to talk about Disney next then.
Yeah.
No, I said we were on. Now we're off. Actually, kind of went to Sony.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like Sony, I think, was the main... person that bought it. I can't remember who made it.
Sony owns... Okay, so here's the fun story. Sony still owns Spider-Man, but Disney fronted the money, the script, the actor, the everything.
Yeah.
And said, you can use our characters because we're writing the script, and you get to make the money off of it, but if you want to be even remotely part of our universe, we get all of the say.
Yeah.
So it's honestly great for Sony.
Yeah, it is really good. Now, I was talking about Baby Driver. Sony put that out, too.
Oh, there you go. Oh,
see, there is a switch. So, I have to blame you. I didn't get to watch Despicable Me 3 because you talk so highly of Baby Driver. And Mrs. Banana over here decided that we were going to watch Baby Driver instead of Despicable Me 3. I lobbied hard for Despicable Me, but I was shut down.
Yeah, I totally wanted to watch Baby Driver.
And do you think it was a good choice?
Yes.
It was a good choice. I haven't seen Despicable Me 3, so I don't know if
I still
want to
watch
choice,
that, too.
But, yeah, I really enjoyed it. I think I liked it more than Spider-Man.
Yeah, I definitely liked it more than Spider-Man. Yeah.
Good soundtrack?
Yeah, this is a really awesome soundtrack.
I was really
soundtrack.
Surprised. So it seems like a lot of soundtracks like that, they come up with like one genre or like one decade or something like that. Like the Guardians of the Galaxy, they tend to take like music from like a very specific
point in
time,
the
70s
and
right?
80s, yeah.
And like a lot of that music I just didn't like. I just didn't like those songs. I know they were super popular songs mm-hmm. and everything like that. But this one seemed to have a really good spectrum of songs, and not just like time-wise, but like genres and like artists. And like I was hearing music in there that... I never thought I'd hear again. I heard some
And he's playing like obscure ones from like Queen songs. He wasn't just doing the greatest hits because the one that he liked was the one I never heard that before, and it was a cool song.
And then there was there was a band in there that like not a lot of people heard of. Well, there was the whole T-Rex, which I thought was funny because he was like Trex.
Oh yeah,
which I got a laugh out of that, and like I think I was the only one in the theater laughing about that because I'm so emo and. Or not emo, hipster, excuse me.
Oh, yeah.
Because T-Rex is an old band, but,
they have, like, good bass and...
Yeah, no, but, like, oh my gosh, what was the... Do you have a list of the songs? Because...
Oh,
yeah.
Because I wanted that there was a couple songs that just really surprised me that they put it in the movie, and the places that they put it in were great. Like, the, I can't remember the name of it, but it's the song, the rock song, where they yodel.
Oh yeah,
and he's running through it, and I'm like, "This is the best place for this song." Like,
I know,
like, and it was weird. Well, I probably heard it on the radio because it was in the movie, but I'd heard it on the radio like not too long before, like last month.
Yeah,
and I was like, "That's weird. I haven't heard this song forever." But, yeah, there's
your giant list of 30 songs.
Yeah,
I know they had so many.
It was fantastic.
And it's like that movie definitely will have. Best editing, Bill. I'll call it that. Because like one giant music video. The way they synced up the music with the cars and even like Ted said with the foot runs. Like everything about that movie is like an interactive music video.
Well,
it's so awesome.
Like the bullets, the guns were in time with the music. And like when the boss guy, I can't think of his name, but when he's like pointing it at someone, like it was in tune with the music, and I'm like, that is really impressive. That
John Hamm's character or Kevin Spacey?
Kevin Spacey was a big boss, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, because he was in front of the whiteboard, and he's talking, and he's going about the plan, and he just turns around, and he points, and it's like right on time with the music, like perfect with the music. Like, the timing on that was just amazing. Like,
yeah.
And you know that they had to plan that out meticulously.
Yeah, they did. Right. Even the shots with the driving, how they edited the cars, because the car's driving with the songs, and they address that too, where he's like, has this part where he's frustrated and trying to elude the cops and gets in a new car. And instead of like trying to figure out how the car works, like he's frantically tuning the radio because his iPod's broken, trying to find a song that will like allow him to drive.
Wow.
In the sync with it. And it's really cool.
Yeah. Like,
hey, you can get this also on vinyl too.
Yeah.
There you go.
They had it.
I'm not seeing the one that I was thinking of, but yeah, like just some of these songs on here were just amazing. I mean, and they weren't. They like you were saying, they're not famous songs from the bands. It might be famous bands, but it's like secondary songs.
I noticed they have like two songs by the same song by two different people.
No.
It's because the girl and its name's Deborah, and so they're talking about like there's no songs named after Deborah.
Oh.
And so they bring those in there.
Okay.
But Alex, did you watch this movie?
I have not.
Alex, shame on you. It's Edgar Wright.
I'm sorry, Edgar.
It's with your... Because don't you like Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz and Scott Pilgrim versus the World?
No, I hate all those movies. Alex. I love them. Of course I do.
I know.
Wait, so that's the same guy who did...
Yeah.
Oh my... Well, no wonder I loved
it. I know, that's why I was so excited about this movie.
Probably, if I would have known that it was the same person that did...
Because even like Hot Fuzz had one of my favorite movie soundtracks too, so the guy like probably, I'm sure, handpicked every single one of those songs.
Jeez. Yeah, I know. That's an impressive resume right there.
And, like, Shaun I still... Dead. Oh, yeah, when you weren't here, Ted, I still... Scott Pilgrim is still my favorite of his movies because I love that movie to the end of time because that's every part of that movie.
We love that movie, too. we have Scott Pilgrim at home. Both the movie and the soundtrack because...
Yeah, that's a good soundtrack, too.
Yeah, it had really good music in it.
And and... We have the video game on our Xbox 360.
Or yeah, it's...
whichever it was. I don't remember.
The one your 360. I think that whole thing of the licensing, that game's really weird. Ubisoft licensed the movie rights for it, but then I don't know if Ubisoft developed it. I know they published it, but the developer based off of the art for the art style from the comics. And that's more to do with the comics than it does with the movie, but because it's tied to the movie rights, those expired, you can't re-download Scott Pilgrim versus the World, the game.
Oh, that's like so weird.
It's like a weird situation where a downloadable game is a collector's item. I've got like a PlayStation 3 that's sitting in my closet that's like kind of dying. And yeah, the only reason I'm hanging on to is it's got Scott Pilgrim on it. Otherwise, I just get rid of it. That's a really good game. The game's like almost better than the books in the movie, just because the game's so stinking good.
Well, and he had, he just has that good, the timing, like the editing of all that. Cause even, like Bill, you know, Ant-Man, cause he was going to direct that, but then he fought with them because they wouldn't let him like go full, like balls to the wall with his style. Mm-hmm. But the thing they totally ripped off from him was the thing that everybody liked, where like he's telling the story and the voices and has the quick cuts. Like Edgar Wright. Like they ripped that off so bad.
So Alex, did you ever play River City Ransom?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the Scott Pilgrim is basically River City Ransom, but yeah. For Scott Pilgrim. But that was one of my favorite NES games. Like I probably spent more times on River City Ransom than just about any other game. And this played almost so much like it. It was amazing.
It's like they based off River City Ransom, but they got rid of like all the frustrating bits. And they made it a lot more friendly for multiplayer.
Yeah, like, because you can't really punch each other, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't think you can.
But you can still pick them up, but like, that was a big thing in River City Ransom. You got too close to someone else fighting, they'd start beating you up instead.
Apparently, the remake, the River City Ransom Underground, got pulled from Steam. Like, yesterday.
That's odd and sad.
I know.
I hadn't heard about that. There have been like a lot of River City Ransom spin-offs lately. There are at least two released by Kunio, the original developers. There's like a medieval themed one, and there's like another one that's just like a straight up remake. And there's also like another one where I think someone got the license for it and did like a full remake. Do you know which one it was? River City Ransom Underground.
Yes, River City Ransom Underground. I don't know the stuff, but apparently it's about the copyright for the music. Apparently, there wasn't officially permission given. Let's see what the.
Yeah, this is the Kickstarter one. I don't know what the relationship is with Kunio, if they just like license it or if they publish it for him or what. Because we've seen this on Kickstarter like a couple years ago, but there have been like a bunch of River City Ransom since this one first got kickstarted.
Yeah, apparently Alex Maurer didn't have the rights to use the music that she created.
Oh.
Alex Maurer made the music and she said that she didn't, and it's all drama now.
Yep.
Drama! Yeah.
Actually, that's the other thing.
I got it wrong. The developer, the original developer is Technos. The game series is called Kunio-kun. Okay. And that includes like Super Dodgeball and the River City Ransom games. Man, Super Dodgeball, that was a fun game. That game ruled.
Look at that, all those fun games.
If it had Super in the name, you know it had to be good.
Mm-hmm. So good. It's basically River City Ransom, but dodgeballs. And it was like kind of meant to be like a... like it's more like a multiplayer versus. Well, actually, it's only multiplayer versus. Like if there was another person, you just fought a computer. Like there's no co-op mode, I don't think.
Good stuff.
All right. Well, we probably should wrap things up though.
Yeah.
It's a long episode. Early in the week, might even change to this date or a day earlier. I don't know. We're still ready for the weekend. Just happened. We're happening earlier. So we'll go famous last words. Alex, go ahead.
Barf! From River City Ransom, when you knock the guy out, they'd yell barf.
Alex, don't speak to me until you've watched Baby Driver.
Spider-Man Homecoming was a very good movie. You should go check it out.
Bread makes you fat?
Guess what? I'm talking to you, and I haven't seen it either.
No, only Alex.
Oh, okay.
Alex has extra shame.
Aww.